Morning.
Morning.
Love you all. Thank you all very much for being here this morning. Lesson title this morning is perfect. And most all of us, when we think of something that's perfect, we think of Jesus, don't we? Some of us think about the beautiful clouds, and the beautiful earth, and the sun, and the waters. And some of us relish God's handiwork as being perfect. But how many of us have heard someone say, well, that's just perfect? You know, obviously, you know, my wife mentioned to me last night when I told her the title lesson, she said, well, that in some versions, you know, that's made complete. I said, okay, I agree with that. But I would rather be perfect than complete. Some of us would rather be complete than perfect. So use whichever term or flavor you would like to taste this morning pertaining to this topic. Obviously, in our lesson text this morning, therefore you shall be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect. So I would ask you this morning, if I was going to ask you before I went through that a little bit, obviously Jesus is perfect. So look around the room this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, auditorium, and pick out which one among you is perfect. See, DC going to do that. But you know what? He looked at all of you. If we look just as the world does, and the world's consideration of what's perfect, we're going to start, no. I guess I'm the only one. But it's not so in Christ. And as we look at God's holy word, and we consider that, you shall be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, how am I going to do that, Jesus? God Almighty, how am I going to be perfect? How many of us woke up and looked in the mirror this morning and said, I'm perfect today? Or how many of us covered some up? Or changed how we looked? I did. How many of us wore what we slept in last night? You know, we keep wanting to change. We keep wanting to make ourselves better. It's exactly what God wants for us too. But we think of perfect as being a physical appearance. And God is obviously talking about matters of the heart. It's unique, but God always gives us the answers to his questions. If I said, God, how am I supposed to be perfect? I just looked around the room here, and the best people I know, the most faithful people I know, the best Christians I know are right here. None of us are perfect. But yet his holy word says, you shall be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, how is that? Well, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemy. Jesus said, bless those who curse you. When's the last time you told somebody I love you after they just cussed you out? Or you said I love you after they threw you under the bus. Okay, I'll use that. Hopefully we don't get cussed out too much in our society. But I guarantee you, I got thrown under the bus this week. Okay? I got thrown under the bus. Typically by somebody you're supposed to be able to trust. Somebody, you know, that you gotta work as a team again. I'm talking about work. My wife didn't throw me under the bus, for those of you wondering, what if that happened at home? No. We both drive the bus at home. We're beeping the horn at each other. Beep, beep, beep. I'm just kidding a little bit. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. We continue to forget that he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. It's mentioned in Bible study this morning. We're always wanting to think that we're rewarded and we're disciplined. We're rewarded and we're disciplined. We're rewarded and we're disciplined. And when we start trying to understand how God rewards and how he disciplined outside of his holy word, folks, instead of being perfect, accepting that each and every one of us are perfect in Him. What happens when we get to the old pearly gates and DC says, God, thanks for saving me from all my sins. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your holy word. But how come you made me look like this? And God said, "That's you're exactly the way I wanted you to look, DC. You're perfect." And for us to embrace that and recognize that each and every one of us are perfect and exactly look the way God wants us to look. Brother Brad, you did a fabulous job of leading the song. And with that, this went all haywire. You just kept on leading. And we followed. Praise God. Perfect, folks. Accept that God made you just the way He wanted you. And be confident in that. Be happy and joyous in that. Relish the fact that you are different than anybody else ever that walked the face of this earth. As far as spiritually wise, similar to, we each have different needs and different ideas and different trials and sins that we struggle with that we need forgiven of. But we are perfect. Being perfect just like God is going beyond the norm. It's just like when we get thrown under the bus at work or at school or at home, okay? The normal reaction is, I'm going to get back at you. I'm going to win this argument. How many times did Jesus do that? Our wonderful example. He was perfect. He was a perfect example. How many times did He hold His tongue? We'll see a passage that tells us about that. But I ask us to consider our thoughts pertaining to being perfect of what God's holy word says to what we expect and think and what the world says. Because it's different. It's different. Perfectness doesn't come from loving your enemies and blessing those that curse you and doing good to those that hate you. That hate you. In Matthew 19 it is written, Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, most of us think about perfect, and well, you know, wouldn't that just be great? Let's all just put our money in the pot, and we'll just give everybody equal amount. Socialism, I guess, if you want to use that term. Jesus was not emphasizing the money issue here, folks. He's emphasizing this young man had everything, had done everything right except for put Jesus first. If you want to be perfect, you have to put Jesus first. And when we go away sorrowful, guess what? We haven't put Jesus first in our lives. When I have an interaction, a relationship, or a conversation with somebody I'm not proud of, I haven't put Jesus first. I haven't been perfect in a conversation because I haven't put Jesus first. I haven't been the employee that I wanted to be. I haven't put Jesus first. Simple verse. It's not, you know, yeah, it is about the man giving up his riches to some extent. But that's what was in the way. So whatever's in your way of putting Jesus first, when you feel sorrowful, put Jesus first. Don't go away sorrowful because you didn't put Him first. Be perfect as He is perfect. And you will have treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven. I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle. This earth is beautiful. In the last month, I've seen God's creation and His fingerprint all over the place.
It's beautiful. Don't even come close to heaven.
Jesus only come down here for 33 years and he's happy to go back. Guaranteed.
We need not to lose sight that we're perfect in Christ and perfect for eternity. And we have home in heaven. Our treasure should be in heaven.
2 Corinthians, it is written, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities than the power of Christ, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, how many of us want to be weak? That's nobody. Okay? But yet, Jesus, okay, tells Paul, okay, what? My strength is made perfect in weakness. If I want to be strong in Christ, made perfect, there's times when I got to, back to the rich young ruler, put Jesus first. Put Jesus first. Follow me. That's what Jesus said. Follow me. That's putting him first. Take up my cross daily. Follow Jesus. My grace is sufficient for you. You're forgiven. My strength is made perfect in weakness. In Ephesians chapter 4 it is written, and he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning and craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. To a perfect man. How am I going to be perfect? Well, by not being a child. Okay? Not being tossed to and fro, but every doctrine that come by be grounded and firm in doctrine of Jesus and the apostles. Satan tempts us with that. Something new comes along, sounds good, sounds great, makes us feel good, but it's not. It's a wind of doctrine. The trickery of men. Deceitfulness. But being perfect, truth and love, and growing up in all things into him, Jesus. Jesus. Being a perfect man to be able to help, equip the saints, be part of the work of the ministry, to edify the body of Christ, to be part of the unity of the faith. Thanksgiving's in a couple weeks. Most of us will gather with family members, okay? And some of us will have tension moments, and there's issues unresolved that may be resolved forever with those family members. It's a great time for us to be perfect in Christ and work on unity. But folks, when we gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ, we should never have that type of animosity and that type of baggage. And if we do, we need to fall at the feet of Jesus and be reconciled to one another. And we need to forgive one another. And we need to be perfect in Christ. We can't change people's hearts that aren't following Jesus, folks. And we sometimes can't even change each other's hearts. We can change our own hearts to follow Jesus. We studied about Joshua on Sunday morning. As for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. This day I will do what is right.
This day I will be perfect in Christ. I will follow Jesus. This day I choose you, Jesus, to be my Lord and Savior. To be the head of me. To be a perfect man.
Colossians, now I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. For the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. As we gather with our families in a couple weeks, folks, I plead with you to let Jesus shine in your life, those around you. Forgive those people, love those people. Let them know that you are following Jesus, no matter what, when you gather together with those of your family members. It's a good opportunity, folks, to be able to walk by faith, to help present other people perfect in Christ. You know, the writer of Colossians says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for you. You know, in multiple times, the apostles and the disciples all had sufferings. Emotional sufferings, stress, physical sufferings. But yet it didn't change them from following Jesus and change them from being perfect. Continuing in their faith. James chapter 1, it is written, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Just as we studied this morning in our Bible class, it's a very serious thing to obey God and listen to him. In this passage, I believe in my heart, I think of this last part of this passage, be careful what you ask for. You're asking the Most High God, who created all things, who can give you exactly what you ask for. You know, old Garth Brooks, you know that song, thank God for unanswered prayers, you know. Be careful what you ask him for. Be diligent, be perfect, that you're asking him for what you really want or need. It's not wrong to ask him for wants. Okay? It's not. We have example and example after that. God gave people through the history of the world all kinds of wants. He gave them wants that tempted them and they fell away from him too. It's up to us to stay perfect in our hearts and in our minds and our spirit following him. But take it seriously when you start talking to God and asking him for things. In the beginning of this verse, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, if I was to show you, if I was to ask you to use one word for being perfect, how many of us would say patience? Patience.
God he didn't use it just as the only word. We've looked at multiple passages, but I just use that to pull out the word patience. Let patience have its perfect work. You notice that God's word, when it talks about patience, doesn't say, but. How many of us use that? I thought, unfortunately, last week I told you about me being the king interrupter. Okay? How many times do you say, but? I'll follow Jesus, but. I want to be perfect, but. I want to do the right thing, but. I should be praying, but. I should be reading my Bible, but. Thanks be to God, He is patient with us. But we, following Him, should have that patience with one another. One of the best times that we can be an example of the kingdom of heaven and show God's perfectness working in our hearts is when we have patience with one another. We have patience with our children. We have patience with our co-workers. When we have patience with strangers. Even tax collectors greet each other. Okay? That's easy. Jesus is our great example because this is all right back there one day. Check. Patience, folks. It's something we'll work on and continually seeking Him in our lives. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. How many of us came in here this morning saying, I don't lack a thing? God's word tells to us, where's your patience? Where's your patience? How many of us lost patience with something this morning already? Let's follow Jesus when it comes to that, folks. James chapter 2 says, For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body. But. How many times did Jesus say but? That's a worldly concept, folks. But let me tell you how I think. But let me tell you a story that's better. What about saying, but let me tell you about Jesus. Let me be perfect in His sight. But let me follow Him. But let me forgive you. If you're going to use but, use it in following Jesus. Not to justify yourself or to one-up somebody or to be worldly. Be a perfect man. If anyone does not stumble in word, anyone. As I get older, I've gotten better at holding my peace. I held my peace this last week at work. I wanted to let somebody have it. I didn't do that. How come you didn't say that to them? But I was able to tell some of my coworkers, sometimes it's just good to eat crow, even though it's not your crow. And I said, Jesus, my Savior, does that, and it did that for me. And I'm learning from His example. There'd be no benefit in me being right. The issues would still not be resolved, and I'd just have an excuse not to do something. And I'm glad I didn't make that excuse. I'm glad that I kept my tongue, and I just got some things done at work. Thanks, Jesus, for helping me.
Our last passage this morning comes from 1 John, and it says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." Well, this is written to Christians, so all I got to do is love the guys around me. And the rest of you, sorry about your luck. No, because then I go back to see Jesus loved everybody, Jews and Gentiles, Hebrew and Greek, learned and unlearned. "Who is my brother?" they asked Jesus. "Who is my neighbor?" they asked Jesus. I plead with us brothers and sisters in Christ, when we start to say, "I hate something," that we stop. That we stop, because that's of the world. We should be of love. Not fearing something. Not hating something. We should be perfected because we love as Jesus loves. There's nothing worse, folks, than being called a liar. Other than being lost, I guess, maybe. For me, it angers me when someone perceives that I have deceived someone or said something in error or willfully in error. That's not what I said. It's not what I meant. I love you. Let's get this worked out. How many of us have been misunderstood in our lives? In the world and in our relationships and in our family relationships and in our marriage relationships, folks. We misunderstand each other all the time. That's the time when we do open our mouth and we do say, "I love you and I forgive you," and that's not what I understood. Well, that's not what I meant. Being perfect is being like Jesus. We can be perfect by being like Jesus. We are made perfect through his blood. We're perfect through the promises God has given us, his perfect word. There's a lot of other perfect concepts in his holy word, but I wanted this morning's lesson to focus on us and our hearts and recognize and be uplifted that we are perfect through him. If you haven't committed your life to Jesus this morning, we invite you to do so. If you need the prayers of the congregation, it's always available because we love you and we care about you. And we offer that invitation as we stand and sing the selected hymn this morning.